Today's Bible reading is John chapter 16, verse 4 to 15. And if you're following along in the Pew Bibles, you can find it on page 1677. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you all into the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Thanks, Charlie. Let me pray again for us. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we pray, Lord, that no matter what our weeks have been like, you would just quieten our minds and our hearts to receive your word to us. Please speak to us by your Spirit and show us the glory of Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, one of the things that I've discovered about being a parent is sometimes you have to be the bad guy. You have to make decisions that aren't popular. Now, I have a beautiful 3-year-old daughter, Hattie, and I find that I'm often making decisions that are for her good, but aren't always seen by her as for her good. At the moment, Hattie is enjoying wearing her high heels all over the place, but when we go to the playground together, we ask her to wear sneakers so that she doesn't fall over and skin her knees. Now, at 3 years of age, she doesn't quite understand that not wearing the high heels is for her good, especially when she's been asked to take them off, please. Even though it is for her good, and she will skin her knees with them on. She's seeing the immediate, and we're seeing beyond. And I think we're prone to do this with God all the time. It's hard, isn't it, to see beyond our immediate circumstances. I'm very prone to get tunnel vision, get consumed by what's happening in my life right now. When we open God's word, we get a bigger picture of what God is doing. In John 16, the disciples have tunnel vision. They're consumed by grief because Jesus is leaving. All they're thinking is, Jesus is going away. But Jesus can see what they can't. His going is for their good. Through his going, he will send them the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see why this is for their good and ours. The Holy Spirit will make known the significance of Jesus' work. He shows the truth of our sin and the glory of Christ. When we see Christ's glory, we're made like him. Over the past few weeks as a church, we've been looking at John 15 and 16. And this is part of the farewell discourse Jesus gives to his disciples. And we've been thinking about the idea of being devoted to Jesus. One of the things we're on about as a church is remaining in Jesus, remaining in his love. But in John 16, Jesus is about to leave, yet he calls his disciples to remain in him. How can you remain with someone if they leave? It's because remaining with Jesus is enabled by his Holy Spirit. In our passage, we'll see the work of the Spirit to convict the world and to glorify Jesus. If you've got your Bibles open, we're in John 16 on page 1678. We're starting at verse 4. We'll start by seeing a surprising truth. It's good to know as we come to our passage, the Lord Jesus has just warned his disciples about facing hatred from the world in his name. You were here last week, this is what we were looking at. Then he says in verse 4, I've told you this so that when their time comes, you'll remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. So Jesus is about to return to the Father. And because he is going, the disciples are filled with grief. Jesus knows this and he says in verse 5, none of you ask me, where are you going? It seems like a strange thing to say, because if you just flip back in your Bibles to John 13, well, in verse 36, Peter has asked him this very question. Lord, where are you going? So what does Jesus mean? Well, Jesus can see that they are no longer asking this because they're devastated. They're no longer asking him where he's going because they're filled with grief because he's leaving them, verse 6. Disciples are no longer concerned with what it all means that Jesus is going. They've lost sight of that, of understanding what Jesus is saying. Now they're overwhelmed by grief because he's leaving them. All they can see is bad news. But then we see Jesus flip this on its head in verse 7. A surprising truth. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. How can that be? He will send the Holy Spirit. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will send him to you. What a gracious King, sending his Spirit to his people. And so in the rest of our passage today, Jesus will tell the disciples about the Holy Spirit, why it is for their good that he goes and sends him to them. We're going to see it's for our good too. And firstly, it's because the Spirit convicts the world. When Jesus says world here, he's talking about humanity in rebellion against God. This is all of us by nature, if not for the grace of God to save us. And Jesus has just told his disciples to expect hatred from the world in his name. We looked at this last week in chapter 15. But the Spirit is an advocate, verse 7. He comes alongside the disciples when they face opposition from the world. He's an advocate. And yet, he also has a role in convicting the world. He proves the world to be in the wrong, verse 8. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That word prove, it's worth stopping and thinking about that word. Sometimes it's translated convict. If you've got an ESV, you might see it says convict. In his book, The Coming of the Holy Spirit, Philip Jensen says this word in Greek carries with it the idea of exposing what is there so that guilt is demonstrated and so that the guilty one responds with shame or repentance. The Spirit reveals the truth. That's why Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit reveals the truth that the world is in the wrong, verse 8. The world got their verdict about Jesus completely wrong. Have you ever turned the lights on in a dark room and it's revealed something disturbing? I can remember flicking on the lights at our old house in the hallway in the middle of the night, and there was a little mouse running along the skirting board. the Spirit switches on the lights. He exposes what is already true. He exposes that the world is in the wrong in its verdict about Jesus. Like a mirror shows you what's really there, the Spirit exposes the sin that is really there. He brings the world face to face with the finished work of Christ. The world is made to reckon with Christ. And the effect this has on the world is to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus expands in verse 9 about sin because people do not believe in me. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about at the end of chapter 15, if you were with us last week, in verses 22 and 24. The world has rejected both him and his Father. And so the Spirit convicts the world of its sin, of rejecting Jesus and not believing in him. But the Spirit also exposes the truth about righteousness. What does that mean? Verse 10, about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where he can see me no longer. The world has judged Jesus to be unrighteous, a blasphemer, a criminal. But in his resurrection and ascension to the Father's right hand, his disciples can see him no longer. He is vindicated by his Father. He's proved righteous. He rises and ascends to heaven, and the Spirit will prove the world to be wrong concerning righteousness. And about judgment, verse 11. Because the prince of this world stands condemned. At the cross, Jesus condemned the prince of the world. In John 12:31, Jesus says in the lead up to the crucifixion, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So in his death, he has condemned Satan, the prince of this world. He has judged Satan, and the truth of this judgment now goes out to the world through the Spirit's convicting work. The Spirit convicts the world. So the question is, how will the world respond? Some respond with repentance and some do not. I'd like you to have a look with me at these two responses in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, this is where the Spirit comes at Pentecost. And Peter speaks to the Jews in Jerusalem. He says, "God has made this Jesus, whom they have crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Some respond to the Holy Spirit's work to convict with repentance, and some do not. Have a look in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, an early follower of Christ, is filled with the Spirit. He says to the Jewish leaders that they always resist the Holy Spirit, verse 51. In his speech, he shows that they have murdered Jesus, the righteous one. And in verse 55, it says, "Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" How are the Jewish leaders going to respond? Verse 57, they cover their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They rushed at him to drag him out of the city and stone him. The Spirit has confronted them with the righteousness of the one they've rejected. It has pressed the truth of Jesus on their hearts, and they violently resist it. Maybe some of us can recognize ourselves in this response. Maybe the Spirit's exposing the truth about who Jesus is, and you find yourself blocking your ears to the Spirit's work. To reject Jesus is a serious decision to make. It has eternal consequences. Consider who it is you're rejecting. Whoever comes to him, he will never cast out. And Christian, the Holy Spirit does not stop exposing sin when you come to Christ. While Jesus is talking here about the Spirit's exposing the sin of the world, well, he also exposes sin in God's people so that we confess them and walk in the light. In John's first letter, in chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I wonder if there's something the Spirit might be exposing in your life today. Is there a sin you've been holding on to, or something you're trying to justify before God? How might you bring it into the light? Confess your sin to God. Verse 9 of 1 John 1 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Some might say, why would I confess my sin if Jesus has already paid for it? Jesus paying the price at the cross does not stop confession of sin. No, the cross gives us the confidence to say, if we confess our sins, Jesus says, forgiven, paid for already in my blood. It's the Spirit who presses the finished work of Christ home to people's hearts. The question is, how will you respond when he exposes sin in your life? The Spirit convicts, but he also glorifies Jesus. Jesus goes on in verse 12, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So the Spirit is a guide into truth. It's not about knowing who the next prime minister is or what the answer is to the exam question that you're looking at. No, rather, it's about knowing all the truth, verse 13. All the truth. Just a few chapters ago in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "He is the truth." The Spirit helps them understand Jesus and what his work means. That he's come from the Father. He guides them into the truth of knowing what it means that he's come in the flesh, died, risen, and been exalted to the right hand of God. The Spirit's work is to speak of Christ. Verse 13, "He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So the Spirit helps God's people grasp Jesus' work for them. And what is yet to come? That there will be a future resurrection of all people, a judgment and a cosmic renewal bought by the finished work of Christ. And this guiding and speaking of Jesus that the Spirit does means he will glorify the Son. He guides and glorifies. The two go together. It's not that the Spirit shows them the truth about Jesus and then does a glorifying thing over here. No, no, it says in verse 14, it doesn't say, "and he will glorify me." It says, "he will glorify me." As the Spirit guides them into all the truth, the Spirit glorifies the Son. The Spirit's not going to add anything to what Jesus gives him when he glorifies Jesus. The truth is wholly contained in the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The Spirit works like a window to Christ, but the glory is in Christ. But then we get this beautiful glimpse into the work of the triune God in making himself known to his people in verse 15. All that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son. And the Son then gives to the Spirit what the Spirit makes known to the disciples. So the Spirit glorifies the Son, verse 15. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, the image of the invisible God. Jesus makes the Father known. He says, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. And now the Spirit will make the Son known, verse 15, with what he receives from the Son. He shines the spotlight on Jesus. When I was in high school, we lived in Hindmarsh Island. And Mum got into stargazing for a while, and we had a telescope that used to sit on our balcony. And I remember looking through it at night, and there's something amazing about looking through a telescope, looking at a star so far away and it's right in your face. But Mum's telescope didn't do anything to the stars. It didn't make them shine, didn't make them glorious. They were already shining. The telescope helped me see the star in all its glory. That's what the Holy Spirit does with Jesus. He doesn't make Jesus glorious. Jesus is glorious. He opens our eyes to the glory that's already there in the Son. The Spirit's exactly what the disciples need. See, at this point, they don't yet understand Jesus' work, the truth of who he is. They don't have a clear vision of their Lord and his glory. But when the Son is glorified, the Spirit he sends will glorify him in the hearts of the disciples. What this says is the Holy Spirit is not some vague spiritual force floating around and disconnected from God. No, no, he's God himself making the Son known in the hearts of his people. And when the Spirit helps us see the glory of the Son, something happens to us. We become like him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As the Spirit helps us see the glory of Jesus, we're made like Jesus. So deep is the grace of God that by his Spirit, he transforms us to be like the Son. A foretaste of what's to come when the Son returns and we're made perfect in him. Can you see how much better it is for the disciples that Jesus go? Much better. Through the Spirit, they will be transformed more and more like their Lord. Transformed with ever-increasing glory into his image. If you're here today and you belong to Jesus, that's what the Spirit does for you. Doesn't that give us something to pray for? It tells us that growth as a Christian is about seeing more of Christ by his Spirit. And so we need to ask that God, by his grace, would show us more and more of the glory of Jesus, his beauty and truth. And I encourage you to pray that. It's a great prayer to pray. Lord, show me Christ. If you want to grow in your faith, it's a good prayer to pray every day. A fresh view of the glory of Christ will melt the coldest heart. The work of the Spirit is to glorify Jesus. And we've also seen today the Spirit convicts of sin. If he exposes sin, don't turn from him, don't grieve him, confess it to him. Jesus' grace is sufficient. Come to the cross. The only thing that can cleanse is the blood of Jesus, which is able to cover all your sins, past, present, and future. Bring it into the light. In a moment, we're going to have a chance as a church to do this in confession. In John 16, Jesus' disciples were grieving. They were consumed by what was happening to them in the moment. Even as Jesus said, it was for their good that he was going. You might be feeling consumed by what's happening in your life today. Maybe it feels like God is a long way off. Feels like he's not with you at all. If you belong to Jesus, the good news of this passage is he has not left you alone. He has given you his Spirit, and the Spirit glorifies Jesus. He makes Jesus known in your heart, and he is making you more and more like Jesus. That's your ultimate good. You may not get all the why of life, but the Spirit shows you the who. It shows you Jesus. Father, what great kindness you have shown us in sending your Son to die for us and sending your Spirit who shows us the glory of the Son. It is our desire to just see more of that glory each day. We ask that you would give us your Spirit, and we thank you for the great truth that you are transforming us to be more like your Son. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.